And now the game where people who have nothing better to do join us for a moment to do nothing better. It's called Not My Job. If you're wondering what you're going to do with those 16 cans of pinto beans in your pantry that somebody told you to buy when all of this started, well, our guest Samin Nosrat is here to help. She's a well-known cooking teacher, the author of the cookbook Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and host of the Netflix special of the same name. She has a new podcast called Home Cooking. Samin Nosrat, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, we're very excited to have you. I was amazed to find this out, but you were not one of those people who grew up cooking and wanting to be a chef or a cookbook person at all, right?
No, not at all. I grew up eating.
Well, yes. Well, that is good practice.
I always loved to eat, and that was definitely my entry into the kitchen.
Well, I do too, except I don't have a Netflix special about international cuisine. And I was told that your life was changed by a single meal.
Yeah, when I moved to Berkeley to attend college, my boyfriend and I saved our money for 7 months to eat at Chez Panisse, the historic restaurant in Berkeley. And really, that meal changed my life. The dessert was chocolate souffle, and I'd never had that before. And the server came up to me and she said, "How is it?" And I said, "Oh, it's really good, but it would be so much better if I had a glass of cold milk." And I was 19 years old at the time. I didn't really know, you know, that that's the totally rude to tell someone in a restaurant how to make your dish better. So she kind of laughed and she brought me a glass of milk. And then she also brought us a little taste of dessert wine to teach us the refined accompaniment. Mm.
So you, as we know from watching your Netflix special, among other things, have traveled the world to taste and learn about the finest cuisines around the globe. Now you're stuck in your house with the rest of us. How's it going?
I mean, I actually really like constraint, and I think it makes us more creative. Well, yesterday I had 2 slices of bread with butter and honey for dinner.
Yay! You're one of us! You're one of us!
While I was running around the garden chasing my dog. Like, I didn't even sit down.
One of the things I always assume about, food celebrities like yourself is that when you entertain, you have to impress, because it's like, Samin Nosrat, she's going to make an amazing meal for us. But since you're eating by yourself, I presume, do you let that go and just make all the crappy things that you've always really wanted to make, like homemade SpaghettiOs or whatever it may be?
Well, I mean, I sort of burnt out on trying to impress people a long time ago. So one delicious thing I had last week was a box of Annie's white cheddar and shells mac and cheese with frozen peas, which sit perfectly in the shell. You know, they just nestle perfectly.
Oh, wait a minute. So you made... Annie, you made boxed mac and cheese. Annie's is basically, it's Kraft that went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And you made it, and then you put in frozen peas.
Like at the end, and, you know, they weren't frozen when I was eating them.
Yes.
They
were
really, that garniche. Might be the saddest thing, just cold peas.
And you were like, oh my God, the pea fits exactly into the little semicircular pasta thing.
Totally. And then I put this stuff called chili crisp, which is like a Szechuan chili oil that's super crispy and garlicky and yummy on top. So, ooh. I mean, if it was, you know, the whole thing took 8 minutes, but it was so delicious. But I also would be really happy to serve that to anyone, except I also really like eating the whole thing myself. So,
there is that. Hey, one of the things we noticed watching your show on Netflix is you have these amazing emotional reactions to food. You'll laugh or you'll almost cry something so delicious. I assume that's how you really are. You're not putting that.
Oh yeah, I don't know how to act. I'm a terrible actor.
Do you react like that to anything else in real life?
Almost everything, actually. I feel like, my friend had a magician, a really talented magician at his birthday party last year. And we were all gathered around the dining room table. And I feel like I'm a magician's dream audience member because I'm so, so gullible and so emotive. So I'm like, what? Wow, how did you do that?
Magician's are you making fun of me?
No, but it's really my genuine, really, really my thing. I just have big responses to stuff. Might not be the favorite person you want in the movie theater with you.
Right. I'll keep that in mind. Oh. Well, Samin Nosrat, since you're famous for salt, fat, acid, heat, we thought we'd ask you to play a game we're calling
Crosby, Stills, Nash, Acid, and Heat.
That's right. That's right. We're going to ask you three questions about Woodstock, the famous music festival. Answer two out of three questions right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Samin Nosrat playing for?
Rose Von Hatton of Florissant, Missouri.
Oh my gosh. That is the best name and the best town name. And Rose, it is. I really hope I don't let you down.
All right. I should ask, how are you at like playing games under pressure? Do you get...
I'm terrible.
Well, that should be fine.
I don't know that I'm like deep down incredibly competitive, but I don't want to come off as competitive. So I usually just fail at everything.
You're speaking my language.
That is a solution if you're worried about beating people. All right. Here's your first question. Once the organizers signed the band Creedence Clearwater Revival for the festival, other big acts started signing up too. But Creedence ended up regretting their involvement in Woodstock. Why? Was it A, they were the ones who tried out the famous brown acid? B, they were introduced from the stage as Credential Clearasil Revulsion? Or C, their performance slot was 3 a.m.?
C.
You're exactly right. In addition to having to go on at 3 a.m., John Fogerty, the leader of the band, refused to let themselves be filmed for the movie, which is why nobody even remembers they were there.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I like that there was a band at Woodstock who didn't want to stay up late.
I thought that would be prime time at that.
You'd think.
Yeah. Look, free love and drugs, but I got a thing in the morning, so can we wrap this up by like 11?
Here is your next question. The band Iron Butterfly did not perform at Woodstock as they were stuck at LaGuardia. They sent a telegram requesting that the festival send helicopters to take them up and back. How did the production coordinator at Woodstock respond to them? Did he A, send them tickets for a plane flight to Ontario and four parachutes so they could jump out on the way? B, he sent a telegram back where the first letters of each line spelled out F-U. Or C, he called the band's manager from the stage, held out the phone, and said, "This is what a band who arrives on time sounds like."
Ooh. I'm going to go with C again.
That's what I wanted. It's often wise to go with what you want to be true in life and in this game. But in this case, it was in fact B. He sent back a telegram. Why Iron Butterfly was not at Woodstock. All right.
We were spared in a God of DeVito
one
more time.
Where are you learning this information from?
There's a lot of oral histories of Woodstock out there. That's amazing. It was a memorable event. And of course, if you can remember it, you weren't there. All right. Here is your last question. If you get this, I mean, you win, so no worries. Here we go. Woodstock was a huge mass of people with insufficient security and facilities, but there wasn't any violence at all, except for one incident. What happened? A, two people, very high on LSD, had a sword fight with imaginary swords, leading to the loser insisting he was dead for an entire day. B, Pete Townsend of The Who hit Abbie Hoffman on the head with his guitar when Hoffman jumped on stage. Or C, eight people fought over a single roll of toilet paper, leading to some serious paper cuts.
I really, again, want it to be A, so I'm going to go with A.
You're just going to get the idea of like two people totally high on LSD having a sword fight. and then when it goes stab, and then it goes, I am slain for like a day. That's what you think happened.
Okay, fine. Okay, B.
Yes, it was B. Pete Townsend hit Abbie Hoffman over the head with his guitar. And as far as anybody knows, that was the only physical confrontation at Woodstock.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Bill, how did Samin Nosrat do on our quiz?
Two out of three, right. I call that a delicious win.
Samin Nosrat is the author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and her new podcast is called Home Cooking. Samin Nosrat, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. You're so fun.
Take care.
I want the frim, fram, sauce with the awesome flame with chafafa.